seek God and hear God. Seek God and hear God. You know, this is our second week of this prayer and fasting. And it's not your favorite topic, is it? Fasting. When we hear the word fasting, unless you grew up with that and you're used to it, you think, oh my gosh, hunger, suffering, torture, right? But the thing about prayer and fasting is that it sets the tone for how the rest of the year is going to go. It lays the foundation for how we're going to experience this year. Because it's about creating room for God in your life. It's about creating an atmosphere to hear God. And it's about remaining in the posture of humility in order to stay connected to God. Change and growth require us to create room for God. The fact that you are in church this morning means you acknowledge that God exists, right? It means somehow you have created room for God. You know, we're all so busy. You ask anybody, how's your week been? Most people will say busy, hectic, or something along those lines. But the thing is, if we're going to create room for God, we have to slow down the pace at which we are operating. Some of us, our lives are so hectic, we don't know whether we are coming or we're going. Is that not true? Life is just so busy, we're overwhelmed. And sometimes we don't realize we're overwhelmed because of the decisions that we have made. Not because that's just the way life is. Not everybody's life operates at the same pace. Some busyness in our lives is actually our own creation. But if we are going to create room for God, we have to get rid of old ways that no longer serve us. Pastor Stephen spoke last week or 2 weeks ago about the coat, removing the coat that represented Bartimaeus' state of being a beggar. There are certain things that we carry, certain things that we wear, things from our past that stop us from moving forward. But we carry them because that's all we've ever known. But they no longer serve us. Steve Coppin spoke about the fact that God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And it's not just because it's a new year that God is doing a new thing. Every day he is doing a new thing. But the scripture that talks about God doing a new thing says, behold, do you perceive it? Sometimes God is doing a new thing, but we don't perceive it. One of my problems or my challenges is that quite often I get so many ideas, I don't know what to do with them. And the problem is I want to do something about every single idea. I want to chase every idea. And then I end up feeling overwhelmed. And I wonder for you, what is that thing that's going on? What is your question to God? Are you asking about your next step? Do you know what your next step is? Do you want to know? Do you know what to focus on? Are you asking yourself, am I doing enough? Because I think as Christians, sometimes we constantly feel like we have to be doing something, but we don't know what. So you're already coming to church. You're already part of a connect group. You're already praying every week. You're already fasting. You're already serving. We're doing all these things, but we still feel like there's a next thing. You feel like there's something else I should be doing. Removing the old and deciding on what's next is a challenge for everyone. However, it creates room for God. Being able to let go of the old creates room for God. Deciding what to do next, looking at that, exploring that, creates room for God. So even though there's that confusion, God has something to say about that. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. It says this. This is Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet among the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. In that scripture, God establishes his authority in Jeremiah's life. He outlines his expectations of him, and he also states his promise. And I believe whenever we read a word like that, even though it was to Jeremiah, whenever we read a word, we have to put ourselves in that situation and believe that God is speaking to us in that moment and ask God to reveal what in particular he's saying. And so even though he was speaking to Jeremiah, this morning I would say God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you about his authority. He's saying he formed you and set you apart while you were in your mother's womb. Meaning you are different. You're not like everybody else. And it says that he was appointed as a prophet. Meaning there was a specific assignment. You know, we are not just a blob sitting next to another blob. We are not. We are human beings that have been created with a purpose and with an assignment from God. God goes on to talk about what he expects from Jeremiah. He expects obedience with no room for fear. And then he gives a promise and says, for I am with you and will rescue you. God's not just going to come and throw you out there and say, you're on your own. He says, I am with you and will rescue you. Prayer and fasting, which we are about to start in the next 3 days, allows us to clarify what that next thing is and for us to know what to focus on. But it is important to establish what God says about us, what God's position is, and that is that he has authority over our lives, that he has a plan and a purpose, and he has appointed us. That is the foundation that needs to be laid. But here's the thing, it's not enough to just create room for God in your life. It's not enough to just come to church. It's not enough to just say, well, I attend Connect Group, I serve. And when I say it's not enough, I'm not talking about works, because God is not looking for works. God is not looking for performance from us. But it's about creating an atmosphere. We have to create an atmosphere to hear God without obstructions to the entry points for his voice and his vision. You know, one of the things that really gets on my nerves is when we get in the car and our kids get in the car and they've got earphones on. Who knows that? It's so annoying, isn't it? But for them, it's just, you know, I guess for them, it's like, that's how they get their peace. They're listening to their music. They're thinking, everybody's happy. What's your problem? Right? But for the parents, my goodness, I suppose also it's because we are raised differently, right? For some of us, it's seen as a sign of disrespect. But also, when you've got earphones on, it's very difficult to get involved with the conversation that's happening. You can't hear what is going on around you. The other thing that really gets on my nerves, and I'm not trying to pick on young people here, another thing that gets on my nerves is when I'm driving and I see not only a young person riding a bike with no helmet, but they're riding their bike with earphones on. I'm thinking, how are they going to hear when there's an accident looming or something? How will they hear that beeping sound? They can? Oh, Pastor Charlie, you ride bikes. Okay, you've just put the spot on yourself. Do you ride with earphones on? Right, okay. We'll talk later, Pastor Charlie. Anyway, that was my example about kids, but I'll add adults on there as well. It is hard to hear instructions when you've got earphones on, you've got anything obstructing your hearing. It's hard to understand what God's direction for your life is when you've got something blocking. I said entry point. So it's not just your hearing, it's your vision as well. It's hard to understand what God is cautioning you about. You can't hear it when there's anything that's impacting your ability to see or to hear or to perceive. It's important to remove those things and to reduce the noise and the volume around you. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes, I mean, I know I've done it in the past where you're listening to 10 different preachers. You go on YouTube and you listen to this one and you listen to that one and you listen to that one. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes you have to ask yourself, what's behind that for me? Or you go to that conference and that conference and that conference. Or you read that book and that book. I had a time where I'd be reading 6 books at the same time. But that's because I think I used to, or maybe I still have a FOMO. You all know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. So you're reading the book and then you discover another and you think, oh, this is a very interesting book. I better read this because I don't want to miss what's happening here. Right? So you're constantly moving from place to place to place because you don't want to miss what's happening, except you spread yourself thin. So it's important to remove or reduce the noise and the volume around you. Some noise you don't need around you. Anything that impacts your hearing, you don't need there. It's important to focus. We're talking about creating an atmosphere here. It's important to focus on only one voice. And that voice is God's voice. But not just God's voice for the season of life you're in. The way that God speaks to me now is going to be different to how he speaks to me when I'm in a different season. The way God speaks to you when you're a single woman is going to be different to how he speaks to you when you're a married woman. Right? You have to know what season you're in because God's voice will be different. You have to address what impacts you physically, what impacts your body and your soul, for your spirit to get a chance. We're body, we're soul, we're spirit. When we connect with God, we connect at the level of spirit. But it's hard to do that when our bodies are falling apart and our souls are falling apart. So it's very important to not just focus on spirit, 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 and you're ignoring every other area of your life, every other area of your life, because they're all been created by God. So what does that mean? You have to look at, am I tired? If you're going to create an atmosphere of hearing God, am I tired? Am I stressed? Do I have toxic relationships? Am I living in sin? Those things are real, so we cannot ignore them. The atmosphere that we create is affected by the intimacy that we have with God. Do you know the type of relationship that you have with someone determines the level of intimacy that you have? Brothers have a different level of intimacy to a married couple and to friends. Different levels of intimacy, but they are all relationships. However, the level of intimacy within that relationship depends on certain things. They depend on whether or not you are intentional in that relationship, intentionality. They depend on whether there is trust in that relationship. And they also depend on whether you show up in that relationship. Are you present in your relationship? So the question is, how intentional are you with creating an atmosphere of intimacy with God? How trusting are you that God is not trying to control you, but that he wants the best for you? Because that will determine your level of intimacy with God. How present are you to be in the land of the living? Are you a dead man or a dead woman walking? Some of us are dead inside. So we're dead men and dead women walking. So that affects whether or not we are willing to have intimacy with God. Prayer and fasting allows us to create an atmosphere of intimacy if we are intentional, if we are trusting, and we are willing to show up. So this morning, I wonder what your frustration point is. I wonder what is your need? What is your anxiety? What is your worry? Because we all have them. At any given time, anyone in the room is dealing with something. And it's usually something that somebody else has already dealt with and somebody has a testimony about it. They have a testimony. They can praise God for it. So what is yours this morning? God is in the business of guidance. He's in the business of giving specific instructions. And he's in the business of correcting his children. That's what he did. He does. He is a father. When I was 21 years old, I was in a relationship with my now husband. But you didn't know I was going to talk about this, right? It's nothing bad. I was 21. I was unsure about the relationship, where it was headed. I was insecure. I was confused. I had my doubts. And then one day during a time of prayer, and, you know, when I looked at my journal entry, I said I was in deep prayer. I don't know what that actually means, but that's what I wrote, that I was in deep prayer. But I was seeking God. And I felt, I sensed God say, turn off the radio, because I was listening to worship music. And I ignored it. And I heard that again, turn off the radio. I thought, that's just me. The third time, I decided to turn it off, because I've learned that, you know, once God's saying something the third time, this is serious. So I turned off the radio. And I said, speak, Holy Spirit. And in that moment, I was reminded very strongly by God that he alone deserves the title of God in my life. I was reminded that he created the universe and that he is the God of everything. And I felt God ask me, why do you doubt me? And he reminded me, I brought you to this land of Australia. And God also said to me, your way of expressing emotions is rebellion and it's idolatry. And I felt God said, I am a jealous God. And he reminded me to put my trust in him and him alone, and that he would take care of my future. In his own time, Pastor Stephen was just talking about time. And the last words I sensed the Lord say was, you need to spend time with me. Those were all the things that the Lord showed me. Why am I sharing this? Because God wants to tell you something. He's interested in your life. He's interested in your anxieties. He's interested in your fears. He's interested in your future. He wants to hear you out. He is a father. Jeremiah 36, verse 1 to 9 says this. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write down on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah until now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will each turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah, and while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on the scroll. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, I am restricted. I am not allowed to go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord and will each turn from their wicked ways. For the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. Some key points from this scripture. When the Lord instructed Jeremiah to take a scroll and write, he was essentially saying, set aside the time to hear my plans for the nation. Prayer and fasting allows us to set time aside and focus on the plans he has for us. God is concerned about whether nations are aligned with his purposes. And so he says, perhaps when the people hear, they will turn from their wicked ways. As we pray and fast in this coming few days, we get to stand not just for ourselves, our needs, but for the nations, for this nation of Australia, for every nation that's represented in this room. God wants us to bring our petitions, our pleas, our requests for mercy. Because God is hopeful that maybe, because he says perhaps we will consider bringing things to him instead of keeping them to ourselves. Who knows, it's easier sometimes to just keep things to yourself and just wallow. In our own world, it's easier. We just don't want to bother God, we say. I don't want to bother God. Finally, it's important as we go into this space of prayer and fasting to remain in a posture of humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, that's you and I, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's a decision we make to turn. God's not going to make us turn from our wicked ways, our sinful ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God is saying he has the ability and willingness to forgive our sins and to heal our lands. Lands, this nation, our nations that are represented in this room need healing. Our families need healing. Our communities need healing. We need healing. Humility says this. It says, I surrender all. Humility asks questions of God. Humility asks for forgiveness. Humility is open to learning, not just from God, but from other people. Humility says, I will listen, I will obey. Here's the thing about prayer and fasting. It speaks the language of humility. It opens the door for forgiveness and healing because there are things in our lives that need healing.